Well, good morning. I'm sure all of you are aware of the forces of darkness that are stirring up evil all over the world. The end time players are getting their parts. They are trying on their costumes, but they haven't taken the stage yet. The King of the North, as we believe it, will be a 10-nation combine in Europe. Right now, there are something like 27 nations in Europe. But with all the turmoil that is happening, they're having riots, they're having economic crisis. It's going to gradually reshape Europe. And we're all aware that there's going to be a worldwide depression. And out of the ashes of all of this collapse, we will see a new Europe that will form the King of the North. At the same time, we're seeing turmoil all over the Middle East, as dictators who have been in power for decades are falling like dominoes, and the changes are taking place to set up the Kingdom of the South. The Kingdom of the North, we know, is going to be 10 nations, so it's very easy to assume and understand that the King of the South will also be a group of nations. We may even be seeing a repeat of history as Roman Christianity against Muslim, as the King of the North against the King of the South. We're not there yet. I'm asked from time to time, where are we right now in Bible prophecy? Can you point to something that tells me where I am right now? And I always say yes. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." Verse 7 has not happened yet. On the day of the ascension, the disciples asked Christ, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus responded, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority." Those times and seasons are written on that scroll, and it is still in the Father's hand. When these players finally get their parts, when they get their costumes for the roles they're going to play, and they're ready to take the stage, when the Father understands and he sees that all these things are in place, then he will hold out his hand, and Christ will come over, and he will take the scroll out of the Father's hand. Then the authority will be in Christ's power, and he will open the first seal, and it will begin. And the first thing that will happen is the beast's power will go forth conquering and to conquer. And Daniel chapter 11, verse 40 will come into play as the King of the North and the King of the South begin fighting. 3.5 years later, you will see the Great Tribulation begin when we reach Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, when the beast power goes to Jerusalem and becomes the abomination of desolation. But we're not there yet. None of these things have happened. But all the things that are happening around the world that we see every day, that we watch on TV and read in the news, they're all a prelude. It's like all the pieces of the puzzle coming together. And the picture gets more and more clear as to what's going to happen and when. Well, our theme this year, you've heard, is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, this verse reads a little different in various versions. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Flesh and blood, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The first thing that we need to recognize and remember here is that we are not wrestling or fighting against each other. Satan will seek every opportunity to turn us against each other. Look at all the splits. Every year, there's more and more splits. All it takes is a bad attitude. Just get a bad attitude and you open the door, and Satan will take advantage. You and I are not the enemy. When a problem arises between you and I, we need to look for the third party, because someone else is behind it, stirring it up, seeking the opportunity to destroy. And he has many helpers. But one thing I'd like to add is, when people do, for whatever reason, get discouraged or have a problem, get a bad attitude, and they leave, don't place a label on them. Don't call them names. Don't. Because if they do decide they made a mistake, they can't come back. Pride just gets in the way. We are struggling, wrestling, fighting against principalities, powers, and rulers, the authorities that control and govern, the rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness, and the heavenly places. Some say, some versions say high places, some say the heavenlies. Understanding the Greek in this particular verse is spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly sphere or the heavenly realm, or in other words, not earthly, and better understood as high office. These evil forces are not in the heavens. They're here on the earth. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you were made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air. The ruler that governs darkness has a high office. He's a prince, as do others that he commands. And you've heard reference to many of these scriptures I'm going to go over today, but go back to Daniel chapter 10. I'm sure most of you are familiar with these scriptures, but Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12, it reads, Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there alone with the kings of Persia." 21 days, this angel, this angelic being, was fighting the prince of Persia until Michael showed up, the archangel, to help him. And it's commonly understood that this other being here is Gabriel, the other archangel, though he isn't named in this chapter, he is back in chapter 8. In verse 20, he says, "Then he said, 'Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince.'" Evil forces that influence and control the affairs of kings and rulers, opposed by God through Michael and Gabriel. That's what's going on now in the Middle East. There's these princes behind all these kingdoms are fighting back and forth, gaining control, influencing the human leaders. And Satan has plenty of help. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 4 it says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." And the word hell there is Tartaru, which is a place or condition of restraint. So these angels who sin are in a condition of restraint in darkness. And who are they? Well, Revelation chapter 12. And verse 7 says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." How many angels? Verse 4, "His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven." One third of the angels were under his command. And when he was thrown out, one third of the angels became fallen angels. They left their first estate and they're confined to the earth. And we know them as demons. How many? Well, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11 tells us, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. 100 million plus." Now the Greek says myriads of myriads. So whatever the number, it doesn't matter. There are twice as many angels as there are demons. God has it covered. He's in charge. It's two against one in every case. We are in a battle with the forces of evil. How do they know who we are? Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And verse 6 says, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he had said to him, come out of him, unclean spirit. Then he asked, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. How did those demons recognize Jesus? They saw him from afar off and they ran to him and they worshipped him. How did they recognize him? How did they know who he was? John chapter 9 and verse 5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And in chapter 12 and in verse 46, he says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. In a world of complete and total darkness, they saw a light that they had seen before when they were in heaven. That spiritual essence of God, His Holy Spirit, is in each one of us as baptized members. Back in Ephesians, once again in chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He tells us, let your light so shine. Our enemies know who we are. That same light that they saw in heaven, that same Christ, is in us. We are the light of the world. So what can we do? First John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 and verse 18 says, we know that whoever is begotten of God does not sin, but he who has been begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. If we can keep ourselves from sinning, we know we can't. But he says, strive to enter the narrow gate. So that's what we do. We strive to obey God. We strive to do the things that are pleasing to Him. So we try to keep ourselves from sinning as best we can. And a wicked one cannot touch us. If we are in that state of repentance at all times and trying to please God, Satan can't touch us. But if we get an attitude and we start getting bitter, we open the door and in he comes. Verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world is being influenced by Satan and his demons. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. God has given us an understanding so we can understand, we can know. So now that we know, how can we fight? We're in a battle. How can we fight? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 3 tells us, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have weapons that are not of the flesh. What are they? What are our weapons? Well, we have two. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm sure you're going to hear these scriptures over and over again, but Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 tells us to take up and put on the whole armor of God. And once we have all the armor in place, which is doing everything that we can to obey God and to please Him, then righteousness and faith, peace, all these things will fall into place. And then we have, verse 17, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. Praying always with all prayer. The Word of God and prayer are our weapons. Christ is our example. How did He do it? How did He fight Satan? The Word of God and prayer. You remember the situation after His baptism, after the temptation in the wilderness, Satan came to Christ and said, if, got Him when He was the weakest, 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. He says, if You are the Son of God, well, command these stones to be made into bread and eat. What are you waiting for? If You are the Son of God. But Satan knew Jesus was the Son of God because he saw and recognized that same light the demons did. And he was just testing his attitude, looking for a weakness. But Jesus fought back with the Word of God, quoting Scripture with each response. So we put on the whole armor of God, and we have the Word of God. Then Peter tells us, which has also been read a few times already, 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he's doing. And he has a lot of help. He's just going around waiting for that door to open. Waiting for that bad attitude, that little spark of bitterness, anger, so he can come on in and devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Steadfast, standing firm, standing strong, standing solid in your belief with confidence. Christ didn't waver. James tells us we can't be wavering and doubting. We have to know and know what we know. We have to believe it with confidence. We have to be steadfast in the faith. How much faith do we have? Have you ever asked yourself how much faith that you have, and then looked at what Christ said. What did Peter do? Christ comes walking to him on the water in the dark. He says, if it's you, bid me to come on the water. He said, come on. So Peter stepped out of the boat. And then he took his eyes off of Christ because the winds were blowing and the waves were crashing. And he began to sink. And he yelled out, save me! So he took him by the hand and they got back in the boat. He said, oh, you of little faith. Well, if a little faith can walk on water, how much faith do we have? Anybody want to go out here and try and step out of the boat? Christ said, when he returns, will he really find faith on the earth? Do we really believe what we believe? Are we willing to stand up for it? Are we willing to follow our example and die for it? It may not be far off. So watch and pray always, as the forces of evil, the rulers of darkness, continue to influence the masses, and the players begin to take the stage, that you will be able to escape. And although you may see 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, it will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you look and see the reward of the wicked. Don't lose hope. With all the evil that is coming, focus on what is beyond. Focus on the kingdom of God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him. Focus on the joy. When it all comes down, comes crashing down around us, and it looks like there's just no hope, focus on the joy. Look beyond. Don't look at what's happening right now. When Christ was going through it, what was he doing? He was focusing on the joy. He knew. In 3 days and three nights, I'm eternal once again. He knew what was coming. He could focus on the joy. And it will feel so fine when that day arrives. In closing, I'm going to try to sing a song, which I hope will emphasize what I've just said, and I hope it will inspire and energize you to have a good feast.
And I believe the sign will save me. do what feels like until that day. The sun will turn to darkness, the moon will turn to blood. Then the sky will be rolled back with freedom from above. I got a feeling in my body, Jesus Christ is on his way. And we'll be changing into spirit when the trumpet sounds that day. Won't you lift your eyes up, children? Lift it in the sky. The king stands before you. The gates are open wide. Shout the Father, we're ready. Shout the Father, we lead the devil's evil. Lying in the feet. I got a feeling in my body. Jesus Christ is on his way. And I believe the signs are saying it won't be long until that day. Earthquakes, water, famine, pestilence, plagues, storms, false prophets, tribulation, martyrdom, the abomination of desolation, stars falling heaven. It won't be long, he's on his way. Won't you lift your eyes up, children? Lift it to the sky. King stands before you. The gates are open wide. Shout before the wind rain. Come before the weak. Lead the devil's evil. Lying in defeat. I got a feeling in my body. Jesus Christ is on his way. And I believe the signs are saying it won't be long until that day. I got a feeling. Are you believing? I believe the signs are saying Jesus Christ is on his way. And we'll be changing into spirit when the trumpet sounds that day. When I get